Ramsey TV.
If you go to my homepage, ladies and gentlemen, martinzender.com, you will see at the top of the page all 10 of my books that are currently available on audio books. Compliments of the beautiful voice of John Heth. Also, next to the photos of the book covers, you'll see live links, one to Audible, one to Amazon, one to iTunes. Live links, go to any one of those and order my books in audio form. Very convenient. Listen to them in your car while you're walking. Become saturated with the most important thing you can become saturated with, which is knowledge of God. This is Martin Zender. I'm going to finish up what I started yesterday. All is out of God, through God, and into God. Romans 11:36. And I'm going to quote the comments of other people today, namely A.E. Nock and James Corum, on this sweeping verse. Speaking of James Corum, if you go to concordant.org, there's a brief little memorial to James Corum, who died in October, sadly. James Corum was a friend of mine, very important voice for me, coming into the truth. And we read on the homepage, co-editor of Unsearchable Riches magazine and president of the board of directors of the Concordant Publishing Concern, brother in the Lord, our friend and co-worker Jim Corum was put to repose on October 10th, 2022 at age 76. Sad as this is for us, yet it is, as he would remind us, in accord with our God's counseled will, who is doing all things well toward a glorious consummation. Indeed, Jim's legacy in his writings and spoken ministry is his deep conviction that all is out of God and through him and for him. Further details will be given in the third issue of our magazine for this year, now in preparation. And I'm going to be quoting James Corum at the end of this address, and his wonderful writing explaining why the all of Romans 11:36 is comprehensive. Again, I don't know anyone who in his teaching was more logical than James Corum. Helped me a great deal. But here is A.E. Nock's commentary on Romans 11:36. It's outstanding, writes A.E. Nock, who translated the Concordant Literal New Testament. If you don't have it, go to concordant.org and get it. It's a consistent translation. If you're going to read what God said, you might as well read what God said. A.E. Nock, this is the most comprehensive statement which can be uttered. God is the source of all, the channel of all, and the object of all. The universe sprang out of him. It has its course in him, and he will be its ultimate. This settles all speculation as to the origin of all things. Creation is out of God, not out of nothing. According to the evolutionists, creation is out of nothing. Just a spontaneous combustion of elements called the Big Bang, which is absolutely absurd. This truth destroys the theory of evolution. The universe sprang out of God, not out of nothing. This explains universal history. God is the one back of all the movements of mankind. This truth touches on why things are the way they are. The answer simply is God, the creator, the mind behind everything. This reveals the goal of all things. God is so guiding all his creatures that eventually he will become their all. To him indeed be glory for the eons. I mean, it's hard to put it any better that this is the most comprehensive statement which can be uttered, and it satisfies all seekers of truth. And it's comforting because God is love. Who else would you want to be running things, to have originated all things, and to be the consummation of all things, than a being who is love? Evolution could never explain love. This is my comment now. Evolution cannot explain love. It attempts to explain the physical creation, but it cannot explain love. Love is an abstract. Love didn't develop by some accident. God is the source of all love, and he is carrying everything out with the overriding motivation of love. This is the most comforting thing you can possibly know. I want to read Romans 11:36 now out of the Amplified Version. For from him all things originate, and through him all things live and exist, and to him are all things directed. Not only, you know, is this the most comprehensive verse you can utter, but it's really the simplest collection of words. And God has chosen to reveal himself in words. Even a child can understand these words. The shocking thing is few adults actually believe them. You may find some who would be willing to admit that all is out of God. Maybe. It's hard to argue against the fact that God is the source of all things and that things cannot generate themselves. Just the idea that a thing can generate itself is absurd. It is the height of stupidity. It's just as stupid as saying that someone can raise oneself from the dead. Atheists do manage to attempt to argue against this. The creation is self-generating. Again, just think of that. Self-generating? Before you exist, you generate yourself. Before anything exists, it generates itself. This alone, this simple, logical, coherent thought disproves the theory of evolution. Again, atheists try, but they can't even and have not even convinced themselves. One of the most famous atheists, Richard Dawkins, I'll never forget this in the film No Intelligence Allowed. Remember that movie by Ben Stein? It was a movie about intelligent design. Ben Stein didn't use the word God in his film, but intelligent design. Anyone who looks at anything in this world has to admit deep down that there is an intelligence behind the creation. But I'll never forget, in one scene, Ben Stein asks Richard Dawkins, again, who's one of the world's most famous atheists since deceased, he said, Ben asked him, well, Mr. Dawkins, what if you wake up someday and find out you were wrong, that there is a God? And Dawkins' answer was really illustrative, was very insightful. He said, I would say to him, I would say to that God, sir, why did you take such pains to hide yourself? Whoa, he really hit on a truth there. That the creation is so obviously of a superior mind. That God has to actively hide himself so that a discernment of him, a knowledge, I should say, a deeper knowledge of him comes through desire to know and through scrutiny of God's revelation of himself. But the middle part of this verse is where most human beings lose track. They begin to lose the three-part avowal of divine sovereignty. All is out of God, number one, through God, number two, and into God, number three. Yeah, I love the end of that amplified version. To him are all things directed. Speaking of the word oh yesterday, oh, the web of pride, the web of pride that would motivate people to banish God from his own universe. One of the stupidest things you can do. And very few people believe that all things live and exist through God or because of God. Most human beings are really too conceited to confess that. Excuse me. And they like to confer upon themselves the power to carry things out, to carry things forward, and to direct things according to their own will. Christianity, in fact, as you know, has two gods, one God for good, another for evil. And the shocking thing about this is neither one of these small g gods is sovereign. Neither one of these small g gods, the one for good or the one for evil, can actually carry out his intention because, according to their theory, of course, every human being possesses his or her own realm of sovereignty. According to them, God cannot interrupt human decisions. This is how tiny and insignificant the Christian God is. They believe God gave away his sovereignty to Adam in the Garden of Eden and has not managed to get it back. Because, of course, once you give it away, you can't give it back. Of course, this is God's deepest regret. Ah, that is horrible. And then we get to the final part. Anyone believing the final clause of this great statement, that is, that everything returns to God, that to God all things are directed. Huh. Well, these are lonely people indeed, because every religion denies that. We want other people to believe it. And we shout our invitation for fellowship. It's like, come with us and believe this amazing truth. But we're basically shouting into a gigantic, near empty auditorium of non-faith in God. Yes, right. Few, very few, have full faith in God. Most of humanity either believes that there's nothing after this life, this is a belief of worldly people, or that everyone except them will be either annihilated or eternally tormented. Yeah, that's the belief of religious people. But the belief of those who are called believers, and this is a rare thing, you're in rare company if you believe this, we believe all three stark and sparkling declarations, all three of Romans 11:36. And oddly enough, it requires a miracle of faith to believe all three things. Now, we're always being told, and rightly so, that you must consider the context. Of course, I'm a context freak. Anyone who properly studies scripture must pay attention to context. And in Romans 11:36, Paul makes one of the most, again, startling pronouncements that a human can make, the one we've been talking about, and it has become fashionable in certain circles. Some claim it to be a new revelation, that absolutely speaking, all is not out of God. Some people who have been my friends and fellow believers, they've come to deny this. I don't know why. For some people, it's easy to deny that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of His will. Some people say the context of Romans chapter 11 is Israel, which it is. The context of Romans 11 is Israel. But in this chapter, Paul departs the Israel line of discussion, and he launches on this universal wide statement. He's just using Israel as a jumping off point. Because the history of Israel is so remarkable, so anomalous, so strange, that Paul has to speak of the sovereignty of God in order to explain it, in order to explain the history of this people, that again is so unlikely, and so such a circuitous path Israel has taken and will take in the future. So yes, of course, we must consider the context. The key phrase here, which few realize, is seeing that. Let's go back and I'll show you what I mean. The depths of the riches, the wisdom, the knowledge of God, how inscrutable are His judgments and untraceable His ways. Oh, I forgot the word oh. Who knew the mind of the Lord? Who became His advisor? Who gives to Him first? And it will be repaid him. Seeing that, out of him, through him, and for him is all. To God be the glory. Amen. That all is out of God is related, seeing that, to the nothing that anyone can give him first. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to quote James Coram here. If the nothing, that is, God receives nothing from anyone first, could be something, that is, someone could give to God something that he didn't already have, only then would the all not be everything. Why? Because the phrase seeing that vitally connects these clauses. Likewise, if the nothing of the former clause is absolute, and it is, no one can give anything to God first that he doesn't already have, then so is the all of the subsequent clause. That is, it's absolute. This amazing statement in Scripture, Romans 11:36, proves logically to the sound mind, must say that, you must have a sound mind to understand this, that everything that exists and everything that happens is indeed out of God, and that everything indeed returns to God. Otherwise, someone has given something to Him first. If it can be proven that someone has given something to God that he didn't already possess, which is impossible, only then can it be proven, using this passage, that all is not out of God. But that's just as impossible as anyone giving to God something he doesn't already have. And now, I will end with a quote from James Coram of the Concordant Publishing Concern. He put it this way in his article titled, "To God Be All the Glory." It is clear then that in this passage, the thought is that all that is and all that happens is out of, through, and for God. The words "the all" in any text refer to all that is in view, i.e. context, all that is comprised in the subject at hand or true in the nature of the case. Therefore, by means of the illuminating rhetoric which Paul employs in this marvelous passage, he clearly manifests the universal scope of that which brings glory to God for the eons. That these words are used in a limited way in certain other passages, Colossians 3:8, is quite irrelevant. In other words, there are other passages where the all maybe does not mean all. The question is, what is the scope of the all in Romans 11:36? Don't you love the logic? I do. Outside of God Himself, there is no exception to this all of Romans 11:36, nor can there be. For if just once, even concerning a trivial matter, someone had already known his mind, God's mind, when he as yet had not informed him. That is, when God had not told the person. Somebody tells God instead of God telling the person. Or if at any time someone had advised him, advised God of something of which he had hitherto been ignorant, or had given something to him first that he had not already dispensed, then indeed some things would not be out of God. But since Paul's whole point is that such an idea could never be true, we can be sure that all is used universally in this passage. I end that quote from the great James Coram, who is now dead, but who will rise first at the snatching away. We will meet our brother and the other dead in Christ when God snatches us on our feet to be joined with the dead in Christ who aren't dead anymore. And then we will all be changed into immortal beings, meet the Lord in the air, and forever be with the Lord.